Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a very special episode of The Paula Price Show with your host, Dr. Paula Price, author of The Prophet's Dictionary and Before the Garden. Tune in and tell a friend. Join me in welcoming Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome, Dr. Price, for another Tuesday night class. I'm excited.
I am thrilled. We're having a blast. Are we not having a blast here or what? First of all, I want to thank you for joining me, and also thank you for being so enthusiastic and encouraging about what we're doing here on Tuesday nights. Just to catch everybody up, I want to tell you that we're talking about the ABCs of apostleship, discipling apostolic Christians. Now, here's what makes this so important. The point that this is making is that all of us, I won't say all of us, that would be truly not accurate. But many, many Christians are asking, what is wrong with the church? What happened to the church? Why is it that it's difficult? Why are we lost? What do we do? And what is God's answer? Now, all of us who've been with the Lord a little bit more than 5 years kind of know God always has an answer. And a lot of people who are even new to God knows that, hey, if he doesn't have the answer, we're all in trouble. So having said that, this particular teaching and training is to answer those questions and to let you know God wasn't caught off guard. God knew that eventually our church would come to this point where our freedoms, our liberties, our rights, our privileges, our authority, our intoxication, and all of those things that bring heaven down to us and make God like us would eventually run us in the ground. And we have. We've lost great progress in the kingdom of God because we don't know what it's about. I always teach that identity is the key to destiny. If you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going or when you get there. Destiny is a form of the word destination. A lot of times we separate them because we kind of think destiny is a journey. But destination is the end of it. So destiny and identity are reliant upon each other. Many people are lost in life. They're talking about their purpose. I'm trying to find my destiny. You will never find your destiny outside of your identity because your destiny is not something independent of you. Your destiny is what pushes you forward in life. So having said that, we've been talking about discipling apostolic Christians. Now, here's the best part. We've called this series the ABCs of Apostleship. If you look on the screen, you probably can pick up. This is book one, ABCs of Apostleship 1, which is the beginning, and it's foundational. And then ABCs of Apostleship 2, which is the discipling apostolic Christian part. Now, the premise of that book is that we've been at this thing a long time. We've been stabbing at this apostle thing. We've been pushing forward. We've been hoping, oh, God, help us, where we're going. What are we doing? Why are we making it happen? And some great things have been done. Some great things have been done in the name of apostleship. Our forerunners and predecessors have done a magnificent job of getting us accustomed to the term, getting us used to it, getting us really comfortable with at least hearing the word apostles and not thinking we have to go to the graveyards to find them. Because, you know, most of us were told that they were dead. All of them are gone, and we don't need them. So it's been an uphill climb, attempting to get people to accept the first and second offices of the Lord's church. Now, I know I have a lot of folk out there going to have a fit with that word because we like to say we're ministers, you know, and we're servants. How many of you all ever heard the phrase civil servant? Civil servant is a servant of the state or a servant of the government. How many of you all ever heard the phrase minister of finance, minister of education, minister of programming? We can go on. Prime minister. How many of you all ever heard all of those phrases that we take for granted every day in the world? Well, they began in the church, and they began under religion. They go all the way back to Israel and before. So while we might want to split hairs because we don't know what things mean, part of why we're lost is because we've gotten out of touch with how this thing was built and how the foundation. So what is a minister? A minister, look it up. You know, I love Wikipedia. It's one of my favorite places to go. I know they like to bash Brother Wiki, but I think he does a great job. But look it up there and in dictionaries. And you know what it says? It says it's a, something akin to an entry-level servant of a government. Did you know ministers were to serve governments? So it's no wonder that we're always talking about the kingdom of God. It also calls a minister an officer of the state or of a business or some other entity. Now, why am I saying this? Because over the years, we spent almost 35 years teaching you that it's all God's different. Church is different. We, you know, we drop titles. We don't even do titles. No, don't get me started on titles. Oh, my God. I'm like, half of you all wouldn't have a job if you didn't have a title. As a matter of fact, the people don't have a title, the ones that don't have a job. Because your receptionist got a title. The janitor has a title. It's by that title that we assign them. It's by that title that we give them work. It's by that title that we register their contribution to the job, their completion. It's by that title that we pay them. They get paid by a title. My name is Bob Smith. Well, who is Bob Smith? The janitor. Janitor is a title. You see, but you what you don't know is how this strategy was meant to tear down, I want to say the church, but frankly, people, it's not just the church, to tear down righteousness, to tear down right, to tear down organization, to tear down structure, to get you to the point that you cease being intelligent because you're too emotional. The goal was to replace intelligence with emotionality. That's the goal. That's the plan. Satan needs you feeling because he can't do anything with a thinker. And apostolic Christians are thinkers. They're the ones who are going to ask you questions. They're the ones who are going to demand answers. They're not going to take everything at face value. They're the one that's not going to say, "Woo, I feel chills on my spine." Nuh-uh. First of all, they're going to ask, why are those chills on my spine? Because the apostolic Christian don't want to know what, in fact, are they giving themselves to. You know, a lot of people in the meditation, you know, to really enhance this separation from Jesus Christ as the Lord of all and the one who took this world from polytheism to monotheism. Because Jesus took this world from polytheism to monotheism. He's the only God that did. Every other God stayed in their own country with their own kin. You know, Allah was Middle Eastern. Jesus is God of all. Hallelujah. So the strategy is to get you to stop thinking and to get caught up with feeling. Everything is about feeling. You go to you used to go to class and they say what you think. Now they say, how does that make you feel? So that your thoughts are what you're going to be. Everybody knows, come on, it doesn't take a genius to know that you can't define your thoughts, I mean your feelings, but you can't articulate your thoughts. How do you feel? I don't know. I just don't feel right. Well, say what you feel. I don't know. Why? Everything has to be nondescript. Everything has to be vague, undefined, undefinable. Why? Because that's what you do with water. Water, you swing in anywhere you want to go. Mountains, you got to climb. And you can't just climb a mountain any old kind of way. You have to know how to get up to a mountain. Water, you just dive in. And so everything is fluid on purpose, because if you can get the masses moving as water instead of marching as soldiers, you can rule them and they don't fight back. You can take them over. So we are at a point that we spent the last 35 years. Come on, you know I'm right. Half of y'all know y'all go to those little seminars about how you feel. It just makes me feel like, I don't feel like it. Well, I felt offended. I felt affronted. I feel. Well, I feel this. You read Facebook. People don't tell you what they think because they don't think. They just write. So many of those posts, the arguments that people have, well, I feel that this is right. Well, I feel that that's right. And based on what? Nobody can trace your feelings. We can trace your thoughts through your words. We cannot trace your feelings through your agonies or your ecstasy. It doesn't matter. So this game, this con, is to separate you from what guards you. If God said be renewed in the spirit of your mind, then he must think a whole lot about the mind. He said have the mind of Christ. That must be kind of important. He said, you know, be transformed in the renewing of your mind. No. So God is a thinker. And so we're stuck because some of you all are in churches where they tell you don't think, just feel, just drop out, blank out, fall out, lay out, pass out, freak out. But don't think. Don't think. When you ask your pastor, those of you who get the privilege of doing so, well, what does that mean? Oh, just go seek God. And just, you know, you got to feel it. You got to feel it with your heart. Feel it with your, no, I got to hear it with my ear. If my heart didn't have to get it from my ear, I could take you off the hook. But my heart has to get it from my ear, and my ear is hooked to my mind. You see how this is working? So I need to understand this whole idea that we're going to keep the Bible simple. Well, I mean, I heard world-class ministers talking about, I keep it simple so they can get it. So you got all these PhDs sitting up there, all these IT folks sitting up in your church. You got all of these doctors, lawyers, and all of these professionals sitting up in your church proud to talk about all of the alphabet they got after their name, sitting up there with you talking about a fifth grade portrayal and presentation of Scripture. Shame on them for staying with you. Same, because they wouldn't stay in a job like that. You go to a job, you're like, I can do more. I need more. I know more. I should get this promotion because I'm able to do more. You come to God and we pack everything away. Why? And nobody asks to whose advantage. To whose advantage? You're going to have to start asking the hard questions because that's what we do as apostolic Christians. Because, you see, solid Christians were asking the questions that nobody wanted to answer, which is how we kept the world in Jesus Christ. Because we wanted to find out what is that senator talking about? What is that lawyer saying? What is that educator introducing? But the feely Christians were like, boy, but I just felt so good. I mean, didn't our hearts just burn within us? My heart has burned within me while my brain was enlightened. They don't work independent of each other because that's not the hierarchy of the human being. So as we go forward tonight, we're going to talk about why apostolic Christians are needed. We need you to be apostolic in your Christianity right now. We've already, it's wonderful. We love the evangelicals. Win some souls. Please just keep winning some souls. But after you win them, we are the ones that have to sanctify those souls because we believe in sanctification. We don't believe in a futile salvation, a frustrating the grace of God. We believe that we got saved for a purpose, and that purpose began with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, get happy with me. Come on, come on. Yeah, there we go. Get happy with me. It's shocking, but yet you're irritated with the state of the church today. You are irritated and you're frightened. You don't know what's going to happen to us because nobody can answer the questions. And we don't answer the questions because we all put our brain on halt and we bought a huge storage bin and put our brains in them so that we can be Christian. And we go to that storage bin on Monday morning and pick it up because we need to be successful at work. And Friday night, you put your brain back in the storage bin so that you can be a good Christian. So when people say, who are you to judge me? You get all intimidated. I don't know who you are to judge me. First of all, I don't know who you are to say I'm judging because that's already a judgment. If you came, you can come up a lot of terms. You came, you brought it up. I didn't bring up judgment. You brought it up. Well, you don't have a right to judge me. You don't have a right to say I'm judging. Now we're stuck. You see how we're stuck? Yeah, y'all like that, don't you? Come on. Because, see, we are the guardians of the kingdom. First thing we guard is the king. The second thing we guard is his throne. And the third thing we guard is his kingdom. Because we understand that a church without a kingdom will not exist, but a kingdom can exist without a church. Wisdom, principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. A lot of us are walking around with a Bible full of wisdom and no understanding. We hear that. How about the loved one? Well, you're supposed to walk in love. So what are you supposed to walk in? Hate? See, sometimes you have to see what people are saying by what they're not saying. So I'm supposed to sit here and let you walk up to me and tell me how loving I ought to be while you are all hateful? Come on. Come on. Think about it. So you're telling me that everybody without Christ should be hateful and everybody in Christ should be loved? And so everybody without Christ should be hateful and mistreat us who are in Christ. Oh, darn, that's what's happening. Excuse me. We have to be people. We're going to have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We have mastered being harmless as doves. We now need to master being wise as serpents. Come on, give me my stuff. Come on, because you know that's good. Being wise as serpents, because that's the part we run from. We run from that wise as serpent, and the enemy wants to keep you from being wise as serpent because it was the mind of Christ that took him out. It was the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ that took him out. And God gave that counsel to his leaders. So why is it that they're talking rings around your head and you're proud of being spiritual? Are you saying that the spiritual God is an idiot? See, guys, we got to come up. We have got to come up if we're going to do anything useful for the king. And we're going to have to think differently. And you're going to have to start by renewing your mind and really renewing your mind, not elevating your emotions above your mind. Your emotions don't need a promotion. They will run all by themselves. Trust me on this word. So you're going to have to get back. That's the whole thing about being the apostles. Here's something that you will love. Wisdom and knowledge came from the two offices of the prophet and the apostle. They brought us the Bible. The prophets brought us the Old Testament. It was a prophet that said, in the beginning, God. A prophet said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And it was an apostle that said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Did you see that? You see how that's working out? You know that's good. Come on, y'all. You know that is good. I know it's good because I'm thrilled on the inside. I'm having a blast. Maybe I'm having a blast for myself. Hallelujah. I'm letting you join me. But think about it. A prophet, truly an apostolic prophet, said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. An apostle said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you understand that both beginnings began with these two offices, and you wonder why Paul said first apostles? Moses is considered to be a type of Old Testament apostle. And when Moses was considered to be a type of Old Testament anything, there was no Old Testament. I know. Isn't that interesting? But that's a whole other class. We'll get to that later on. So here's where we are. As apostolic people, we have got to understand what it is to be about the kingdom. But I gave you last week a definition. I'm going to go back to my – now, you know I love PowerPoint. So, guys, you know I'm excited, aren't you? I'm so excited. Me and the PowerPoint people, I'm telling you, we're going to be friends. But I put together this so that you can see it for yourself. So I'm going to go back to the screen that says, what is an apostle? Did I do it right? Okay. What is an apostle? I want to get it right. Is it showing now? And I gave you a quick definition. This is not the only definition. In my trainings, I build on this definition from simple sent one to deputized sent one to all the way up to a full definition of the apostle. In order for you to get that, you have to enroll in a class. And Prophet Ashley will tell you in the weeks to come when that class is forming. Right now, we're just giving you a sample. So it's a deputized sent one, standing in for the Lord Jesus Christ in matters pertaining to his church and kingdom on earth. Deputized sent one. I gave some of you all an assignment last week. I wonder how many of you did it. And I told you, go to your dictionary and look up the word deputized and all of its variations. Do you remember? Some of you probably did. And I bet you if you did, you appreciated how that changed, enlarged, if you will, the meaning of the sent one that you've been hearing in church. How many times have you heard somebody stand up who's charismatic and evangelical say, well, I mean, an apostle is only a sent one. Your mother sends you to school every day. That didn't make you an apostle. We send people on to the store all the time. That doesn't make them an apostle. So there's something, again, thinking. See, thinking. I want you to understand. We're going to continue to talk about thinking. So, you know, we say, well, this is just you're just a sent one. No, no, no. Just one that is sent. No, no, no. It's two things you have to understand about sent one. Number one is who's doing the sending. And number two, what you're sent to do. And you must answer those two questions from the perspective of every fivefolder Ephesians 4:11 talks about. So the sender of an apostle is supposed to be the head of state or the head of the realm or the head of kingdom. Apostles are supposed to be sent by sovereigns. Yeah, I'm going to leave that with you, let you marinate on that one a little bit. So if the sovereign is a sender, then the next question is, what are you sent to do for the sovereign? You will never understand apostleship until you put it right where it belongs, and that's in the realm of kingdoms. Apostleship did not begin in the church. Write that down. Apostleship did not begin in the church, so the church cannot regulate apostles. Now, there are apostles to the churches. We understand that, and those apostles to the churches are usually under apostles that were sent by the sovereign. And we're talking about in God's order. You know, we may not want to agree with it. And so you have to recognize that, because all of this time that you've been believing, those of you who are not apostolic Christians, those of you who are, you know, who have been traditional Christians, whatever that might be, you may have had some difficulty finding validity in this office. But the bigger picture is, what does it mean to you for God to put his apostles back in power, back in position, back in authority over the church? Think about it, because it's important. If evangelicalism is about soul winning, and we've done a pretty good job up to, until recently, of winning souls, then what is apostleship about? And the answer is sovereignty. Apostolic people appreciate Jesus Christ's sovereignty. We don't sit around a table having debates about it. Somebody once asked me a question about sovereignty, the sovereignty of God, and did I believe in it? I thought, why are we having this question? That's like saying, did I believe that we should, you know, that we got a White House in D.C.? I mean, it's kind of, we just kind of born into the system. You know, the system was existing before we got here. And so we understand that if Jesus doesn't rule, their church will not survive. And over the last several decades, we've worked very hard to separate Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, from his church, so that the church is running on autopilot by itself, like a little hamster on a wheel. We just keep spinning our wheels, spinning around. Why? Because we're not answering to our head. We're not even trying to learn our head. You know, in my book, ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christians, I write about how most churches have taken the Bible out. Apostolic Christians will leave. When the Bible leaves, apostolic Christians leave. Because they're like, well, why are we doing this? Well, who are we listening to? I'm telling you, you want to know if you're an apostolic Christian, just think about when your church said, we're going another direction. You're like, well, I'm out. I love you, pastor, but I'm out. They start bringing too many crazy people in. Apostolic Christians get nervous. Okay, so what's happening? Where's Jesus? And you know what else you all are distinguished by? You're distinguished by the fact that you miss Jesus. You miss Jesus. Now, I told you, every Christian begins their life apostolic, but not every Christian wants to stay that way. Some Christians say, well, that's just too heavy-handed, that's just too hard, like the world is easy. You go to a hard job every day, and you won't quit because you got some payments to make. Some of you are in hard marriages. Some of you are in hard neighborhoods, and you know what? You buck up, you grow up to it, and you make it happen. But apostolic Christians will miss Jesus. They're the first ones that are going to tell you, you know what, when last we heard a sermon from the Bible? When was the last? I don't even know when last we, does he read the Bible? We don't even need our Bible. And you know what else you'll miss in your church? Prayer. You will miss prayer. And if you're in a church that's mocking prayers, you need to understand that that is not a church for you. When they talk about, well, it doesn't take all of that, any apostolic Christian is going to tell you it takes all of that and more, because they know it took Jesus everything, even becoming a human to die on the cross. Thing, isn't it? And the next thing you're going to miss is the voice of the Lord. When we stop hearing from God, and I'm telling you, whether your church promotes prophecy or not, apostolic Christians are hearing from God. They're the ones that are going to say, yeah, I know, God told me. They're probably going to be off in so-and-so's prophetic meeting and so-and-so's apostolic class and staying at the church because of family reasons or whatever. But they're going to be off hearing from God, because they cannot survive without his voice. something, there's a big hole in their soul, a hollowness in their soul. If God doesn't respond, they cannot figure out why I'm doing this. What is the purpose? Why am I doing this week after week? And I'm hearing the same sermon, the sermon number 53, falling on the 53rd week of the year. Now you know, hallelujah, you're in trouble. So you're different. You miss God. You miss God's presence. You miss his experience. You miss his heart, his warmth, and you miss him. And what we have, what these people on TV have not been listening to is just you've been telling them in every which kind of way, we miss Jesus Christ. Could you bring him back? Can anybody bring back Christ? You're in your church. Can we? You get out of your car, and you're dragging. It takes you 15 minutes to get from the church, and you parked at the door. Because you're so worn out with the weariness of the flesh. You're tired of the flesh. You're tired of the games. I don't pump that smoke machine another week. I don't need it. If the real Holy Ghost can't bring some smoke, I don't want any. Stop it. Take down them little psychedelic lights. I'm done with that. Because you're like, let God manifest himself. I don't need fake manifestations of the Holy Ghost. If God is not willing to manifest himself, then we all need to go home. Let's go to IHOP, get some pancakes, and go watch a movie. That's an apostolic Christian. They do not do fake. They are bad at fake. You want to see them go, you'll find them by how they act when everybody else is running around. They sitting there looking stupid. Like, what? People are going, frothing at the mouth and whatever, they're going to tell you that that singer is not singing for Jesus Christ. That song came off of the R&B label and putting some Jesus words on. An apostolic Christian got problems with that because they are the authenticators of the real Jesus Christ. You are the authenticator, and don't let anybody embarrass you about it, and don't feel intimidated. That's what apostles do. Apostles authenticate. So what do you think their fruit is going to do? Authenticate. This trading off thing that the folk are doing is because they don't understand apostleship and they don't understand our duty to the king. We take our duty to the king very seriously. He deserves it. We feel like anybody who gets up off the throne of glory, decide to travel the earth in a sperm, spend a little time hooked up with an egg to be run around in a womb, come through the birth canal, walk on the dirtiest part of the planet in an era, he could have came with us. Well, at least we had the internet and Cadillacs. No, he came when they had nothing but horses and donkey do. And he did that for us, and then allow himself to be humiliated and embarrassed while he's confined to this planet to get on the cross and die. And then, as if that wasn't enough, then he got to spend 3 days and three nights in hell fighting devils. Tell me somebody doesn't deserve his praise. And he rises from the dead to come back to get us. A lot of times, you know, when you are dealing with that whole soul winning Jesus the Savior, and both are important. Please, this is not, we're going to go and bash you down, because if I ever hear of it, I'm going to make a big scene about it, because that's not what this is about. But it is about calling those out who are ready to go to the next level. It's about giving you the answers to why you're uncomfortable in those pews, why you're uncomfortable in those songs, why you're uncomfortable in those choirs. I'm just giving you answers. I'm telling you what God wants you to know, and that he has heard your cry, and he has understood why you feel the way you do, why your church alienates you. They forget to tell you about the meeting. They forget to tell you about the date. Keep forgetting you because they don't want you witnessing, because you're an authenticator. Apostolic Christians are authenticators. They're going to tell you that's not Christ, that's not God. Something wrong with that, I'm telling you. And sometimes it takes you 5, 10, 15 years to be proven correct. But if you're a real apostolic Christian, they can't move you off of it. So they just move on. But when we start multiplying in numbers, things will change. When we start increasing in numbers, and we will, things will change. Preachers will have to get back to the Bible and start studying their Bibles on Saturday night instead of hanging out at the movies and ordering flicks. They're going to have to research, and they're going to have to study. We're going to stop sitting around the table talking about all of the other things that don't matter and begin to break the bread of the word, because it's only by the word. The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Only the word can grow you up in Christ. Only the word, because it was the word that brought you into existence. So we sit there and we think about this Savior Jesus, and this is where we get stuck. This is where we get stuck. We get stuck on the fact that he set aside his divine privileges. Jesus set aside his sovereignty. He set aside his power, his muscle, and all of the things that he had as Yahweh all those years. He put all of that aside to die the death of the cross. He had to become mortal in order to die, because mortal means doomed to die. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but mortal means doomed to die. And so he had to do that. He had to be mortal to die. And he set all of that aside and became bound to time and space. The problem is, most of you all think Jesus is still bound to time and space. You don't realize that he went back to glory to start doing what he was always doing, being the omniscient, omnipresent, and omniscient God, you know, omnipotent God. He's not doing that. Paul said, we knew him this, but we will know him thus no more. The Jesus that you're dealing with, the Jesus that you're blowing off, the Jesus that you're playing around with is not that lowly guy on a Savior. He left that. He left all of his mortality on the earth and in hell. When he went back to glory, he went back to glory because he picked up his eternality, which is why sovereignty, understanding his sovereignty and authenticating him as the rightful king of the Lord's creation and the rightful heir of glory. That's our job. We are authenticators of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostles are sent ones of Jesus Christ. Is anybody, you hearing me, guys? You hearing me? Because you have to get this. The reason you went to college was to be smart. So why do you go to church to become dumb? You went to college to be degreed and certified as having attained a certain level of knowledge and mental and intellectual prowess. You come to church to be something else, I don't know what. And God wants you to turn that around, because I want you to understand he needs thinking people. So you go to your church and they tell you that you're there and it should be simple and easy, but you the world that's running the church off the planet, those people are brilliant. Who's going to take them on? You and me. Who's going to answer those questions? You and me. And that's why I'm doing these Tuesday nights. That is why every Tuesday I'm here giving you power. Giving you power. Those who know their God. Didn't say those who feel their God. It said those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. The more you know God, the stronger you become. Paul said that I may know him. He didn't say that I may feel him. He said that I may know him. He said that you would be enlightened, that you would be illuminated. You realize that when you get back to the Bible, it's about knowing, because Jesus is the Logos, the logic system of all creation, God's logic manifested in creation. Logos, root of logic. And God wants you to get this. You have to wrap your heads around why you're different. You're not different because you're picky. You're not different because you're religious. You're not different because you are legalistic. You're different because you're an authenticator of the true and living Christ. You bear witness to Jesus Christ. Apostles are sent to bear witness to Jesus Christ that he indeed lived a pre-carnate existence as the sovereign of sovereigns, Yahweh to Israel, the Almighty to Abraham, the Lord God in the garden. He lived that, but you also are to bear witness to the fact that he rose from the dead and he's back home again, never to die any longer. Jesus picked up his kingship. He picked back up his sovereignty, which is why, and if he didn't, how dare we walk around saying we're kings and priests? Well, what is he? He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that took all the hits. He took the 39 stripes and go on. If we're kings and priests on earth, then where's that coming from? It comes from him picking back up his sovereignty as the King of Kings. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, they didn't really mean us to be kings. They really meant a kingdom. No, they meant kings, because kings' children are little kings. But see, you have to think and not feel. Don't go to church any longer just sitting there feeling somebody's sermon while they're hooping and hollering and you don't know what they say. Sit and listen, and then take that home to your family and say, sweetheart, honey, kids, let's discuss this. Let's revisit this. Let's work this out. Let's get some answers. Let's find this in Scripture. There are a lot of words that you are believing that are not in Scripture. There are a lot of feelings. feelings that a preacher has, feelings that the singer has, feelings that the exhorter has, but they're not in Scripture. And your job is to authenticate Jesus Christ in word and deed, in spirit and truth, in manifestation and demonstration. Oh, that's good. That's your job if you're an authenticator. And you get around people to say, well, but that's just how God spoke it to you. Well, you're probably not an apostolic Christian. If you thought that all of that ever was right, you're probably not an apostolic Christian. It's okay. I'm going to forgive you for that. But understand, you're not going to diminish me doing my job. I'm still good at this. I tell everybody, I'm good at being a Christian because that's what I plan to be. I never plan to be a sinner saved by grace. I don't expect to spend the rest of my days on this planet a sinner. This is not Alcoholics Anonymous. Will you never say you're healed? This is the work of grace. Now, am I going to be better tomorrow than I was today? You better know it. Is there going to be a time that I'm going to have to hit a stumble, a flaw in my character that has to be developed? You better know it. But let me tell you something. This is one of you do not have to be afraid of saying, I'm saved, I'm a good Christian, because I plan to be a good Christian. You got married to be a good husband and a good wife, and you boast about that. I'm a good wife. I'm a good husband. You know, I'm a good boss. I'm a good this. Then you can say you're a good Christian. Nobody ever argues with the boss that says, I'm a good boss. Even the people who are angry with him, say, yeah, well, but you know, if he's good, he's good. If she's good, she's good. To apostolic Christians, stop that. Stop punking out on the work of Christ in you. Stop punking out on that. You got the fullness of the Godhead in you every day, 24/7. You have an intelligence network that can't be beat or imitated on earth. Enjoy it. Now, I know. Isn't this good? We talked about it. To be an apostle, God must have committed something to the apostles' trust. The commission of something to an apostle's trust means the Lord has officially empowered the apostle to act in his stead or place. If you don't understand stead, just put in parentheses in your notes, place. Act in his place and on his behalf. God sends apostles to act on his behalf in his place. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh, he said Moses is going to be like God to Pharaoh. Aaron will be Moses' prophet. Pharaoh can't see God. He can't see him, can't hear him. That's why God put himself, his anointing on a person, on Moses. And I'm telling you, God must have put a good piece of himself in Moses, because when Jesus is on the cross getting ready to die, who shows up? Moses, still on duty on earth, on duty in heaven. So God wants us to act in his place. Half of the laws that Christians let get passed, half of the things you all believe, no way in the world you're going to tell me that they got abortion in heaven. I will not believe that. I will not believe that Jesus has abortion clinics in heaven. You will not tell me that. I don't even want to talk about homosexuality. They don't even have sex in heaven, so homo or hetero, ain't nobody having pleasure. Not that. The pleasure is going to be you got eternal life. How are you going to vote for things on earth that are not in heaven and then tell God to bring you to heaven? He already knows you're going to sell them out. He watches you at the polls selling them out every year. Apostolic Christians guard the king and his kingdom. Apostolic Christians guard the king and his kingdom. Apostolic Christians guard the king and his kingdom. And you know why? Because Satan's children are guarding their king and their kingdom. How dare we help them guard their darkness? What is wrong with us? We need some salvation. All of us need another dip in the blood. I want you to understand, you cannot tell people you want to spend eternity with Jesus Christ when you don't like him here. You don't like his laws here. He's not going to let you come to heaven to find out how to kill. They don't have murder in heaven. They don't have killing in him. They got rid of the murderer. Remember, the devil was in heaven, and he said, but he was a murderer from the beginning and a bold not the truth. So he's gotten rid of murder. When Jesus came to the planet, he let you know we took care of our crime problem. We cast it out. We sent it to earth. It's very important that you recognize that Jesus is real. If Jesus is not real to you, then guess what? You're going to have to get him a lot more real to become an apostolic Christian, because the one thing that he is to us is real. We don't say Jesus was. We say Jesus is. We don't say he used to be. We say he's always been. So I'm just helping you straighten out some things. Like, I listen to people fuss with me, but I just think that we should have same-sex marriage. I don't really care what your laws are on earth. I'm telling you that as a Christian, and you voting that, you are not going to be where they don't have same-sex marriage. They don't even have marriage in heaven at all. Remember the parable of the woman with the seven husbands? They don't have that. Why are you voting against your God? Why are you voting against a man that you want to spend forever with and you don't want to be good to him for 20 years? You do realize that, see, this is wisdom. This is wisdom. Wisdom puts the pieces together. How are you holding up abortion when the man has to get babies in the planet in order to save their souls? How can you do that? What is wrong with this? And you vote, you're fighting for Satan's rights. You are, you're killing, you're slaughtering for his rights. And slaughtering Christ in the process. Talking about he's my beloved Savior. I just love him. Oh, Jesus, we just love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Where? Certainly not with you. Certainly not with this church. Where is he reigning? You have to think. We represent a king and a kingdom, not just a local church. That is why God did not give the gospel to pastors to preach, because he gave it to those he ordained to keep the kingdom. We passed it on. I know this is probably, it doesn't matter because I'm old now. What can I say? I'm out there now. I'm old. You know, when I was 40, they fought me. I'm not 40 any longer. And I've been with this man. I've been in his kingdom. I've seen his grief. I've seen the sorrow in his heart when you all do things like that. I've watched him shake his head, realizing that we have ignited a chain of events that he cannot intervene on. God deals with leaders, and he will let the followers do a whole lot of things as long as the leaders keep him intact. Because he doesn't expect the followers to have all the answers. But he does expect his leaders to care about it. Apostles are supposed to exist to keep what God has achieved and accomplished. That's our job. We're not supposed to say, oops, well, the polls say. Jesus could care less about a poll. You realize that when Moses was tearing down Egypt, they had polls. And the polls said Moses is not of God. Moses had fought polls all his life. He goes in the wilderness, Sinai. His people say, he's not of God. God opened up the ground. God just needs strong leaders. Strong leaders will get his backing. But he's not going to con us. He's not going to be con. And the problem is we've been trying to con him. We can't con him. God is the Ancient of Days for a reason. Because he's been around since before there were days. Let's go on. Is this all right? Hallelujah. Are they loving on me? Good, because I sure love them. We are authenticators of the king, his kingship, and his kingdom. We are authenticators of the king, his kingship, and his kingdom. We are authenticators of the king, his kingship, and his kingdom. And God's kingdom is light and life. There's no slaughter. There's no death there. There's no darkness. It said God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God doesn't even have a shadow. He had to make a devil to give himself a shadow. Apostleship, in effect, is about the king of the kingdom. Number one, gods and nations. Number two, God's eternal citizens. That's me and you. And Christ's everlasting ecclesia. That's all of us. That's the body on earth. The king of the kingdom. We have you all have heard so much kingdom preaching, you probably don't realize you haven't heard the king preached. I know. You don't realize it. Many of those sermons never include the king, only the kingdom. Kingdom rights, kingdom power, kingdom authority, kingdom privileges, kingdom everything, but not the king. And do you realize that if you preach the kingdom without the king, you plan to dethrone the king? Gods and nations. We don't realize that all of this is because the God of God decreed that he was going to pull out of all nations of people for his name. All of this. And Jesus came facing off with Satan. What was his first contest in the wilderness? Three tests. It wasn't three tests with the people. It was three tests with the same devil that he kicked out eons ago. Satan is like, well, you're on my turf now. You're on my turf now, so now you will do what I want. Think about it. This is powerful stuff if you just allow God to paint the picture for you apostolically instead of just charismatically or evangelically. Because, see, it's the apostles that were the ones that he trained. 40 days and 40 nights after his resurrection, there were apostles in that room. No other office. Not even the prophets. And they had done all of the heavy lifting up until then. This is powerful. And so his first battle, his first proof was that he could be trusted was when he had to face off with Satan in the wilderness. Hungry for 40 days, wrestling wild beast. See, because we don't often include the wild beast. So the weaker he got, the more the beasts were circling, thinking they were going to have dinner. Then at his absolute weakest, here comes Satan. You hungry? Hungry? Well, if you're the son of God, like you don't know. Like he didn't know. He came because he's the son of God. Well, if you're the son of God, make yourself a snack. There's some rocks. Jesus has to say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, well, listen. Okay, so you can, all right. Tell you what. You're the son of God. Last I heard, you could fly. When I last saw you, you were taken to the sky. So why don't you do it again? Throw yourself off a cliff. Let's see what God does. Jesus is like, thou shalt not put the Lord your God to a test. Now, to us, those are just so common that it will be fun. If you have a Bible study, sit down and ask yourself, what is the significance of those three particular tests? Just have that as a discussion. This is Bible study. Just, hey, guys, let's just talk. Why? We understood the stone and the bread. The man's hungry. But why the off the throw your stuff off that? Why would he tell him to throw himself off cliff? Because he knew the scriptures. But more importantly, everything was about getting Jesus to obey Satan, because that's what he did in Eden. He got Adam to obey him and won the world. So if he gets Jesus to obey him, there'll be no church, because Jesus is carrying the spiritual seeds of all creation, just like Adam carried the material seed, the natural seed of all creation. That's why Jesus is called the last Adam. The first Adam got beat. The last Adam beat him. So then he said, well, certainly Jesus misses home. He's 30 years on this planet. He's 30 years. He's lowly. He's living up in a poor side of town. He's making no money. Surely if I tell him, remind him of all that he gave up and let him know what I did, what I built, what I made in this planet, surely he'll want that, because he cannot be happy being poor since he's the Lord of glory. So he says he shows them all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. And so Satan is proud of his little brick and mortar. And Jesus is like, now, you know, we've been out of brick and mortar for a long time, so I am unimpressed. But you have to really think these things through. We have to. God's eternal citizens. The church did not begin as a congregation in a building. The church began as citizens of the kingdom of Almighty God. The church began as the kingdom citizens. We were citizens before we were considered congregants. That's what apostles should teach you. That's why if we don't keep our six-day watch, then what we do for those 2 hours on the seventh day mean nothing. And that's what we found out. We didn't keep our six-day watch. So then we want to go to church and we want somebody else to do it. That's all right. We're apostolic Christians. We can do it. We got you covered. We can handle it. And then Christ everlasting ecclesia. Now, I won't go through this one. I'll go through that probably next week. But I wanted to get you to, you're going to like this, meet the apostolic Christian. We don't have a lot more time. As a matter of fact, we probably have no time. So we're going to just jump around a little bit. I want to just give you two more little somethings, and we're going to wrap it up because, you know, Prophet Ashley keeps me on it. I want you to study Malachi 3:16-18. We will pick that up next week. Read it for yourself. Pay special attention to the last sentence, which says, "Then ye shall return. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not." Apostolic Christians are always stuck in that place. Okay, is this right or wrong? This doesn't feel right. Doesn't bear witness to my spirit. I'm not sure, you know. And then, is that God or not? Who's serving God? Who isn't serving God? Our job, we are the authenticators of the king, his kingship, and his kingdom. So our job is to know what is God's service, what is of God, and what is not. And you can't just do it by the letter. You've got to know when people say, you got to know God by the spirit, you know what it's saying? Know what his motivations are. Why does God have a problem with so-and-so? Why does he not have a problem with thus and what? Why does God seem silent on this and then he just breaks out on us on something else? You know, and so you have to recognize it's not enough to say, I know those Ten Commandments. You have to understand, what are those Ten Commandments doing to protect God? Why are they his defense mechanism? Why is God preserving himself? And by the way, what is he preserving? Because he's invisible, we think God has nothing to lose. Last one, apostolic Christians. Oh, you're going to love it. Guard, govern, and guide. They uphold the king's government. The government shall be upon his shoulders, says the Lord. Do you think it was an accident that God gave world power to the church? We like to hear Satan whine and cry about, yeah, but people died. People were dying anyway. It's who live in the rule that matters. Ah. So there's a reason why God gave world power and world government to Christianity. You need to research that and find out why. Why did he do it? Because he promised his son that if he didn't sell out, if he rose from the dead, if he brought home his family, he promised his son he would give him the heathen as an inheritance. He would give him the world as his inheritance. God gave the world to Jesus Christ because he earned it, because he won it fair and square in a fight with Satan. He won the planet. He won the inheritance. He won humanity. He owned their souls, but the problem was all the souls that Jesus owned that he talks about in Ezekiel were doomed to hell. So Jesus had to go and buy all souls from hell, and he won it. He won the battle, folks. You keep acting like Jesus is doing something wrong because he's taking claim of his inheritance. Not apostolic Christians. We know he owns this, and we know he earned it. He's not doing anything wrong, just like the devil's folk don't think they're doing anything wrong by passing laws against you. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. They think they're doing what they are. They're living their destiny. They tell you, we're living our destiny. What happened to you living yours? What happened to you caring about your God's inheritance, your God's possessions, his rights, his authority? See, that's how we shift. This is how we're going to shift this thing. Because you are going to realize why you have the fullness of the Godhead walking around in you every day. God's not loitering in your spirit because he's got no place else to be. So, guard the king, kingdom, and ecclesia. Guide the king's kingdom and ecclesia. Excuse me, because we're going to guard the church, guard his church. We didn't do that. We did not guard this man's church. We did not impose his government on any kingdom. We didn't even want to impose it on our children at home. Well, I just think that he should make up his mind when he gets of age. You send him to school every day, and you don't ask him if you want to go. Every day you send your children to school. They got to go to school. As a matter of fact, you want them to go to the store, they got to go to the store. But they can choose whether or not they want to go to church. Come on, folks, act like you love the Lord. Well, Prophet Ashley, we've run out of time. Would you like to say a few things to our Periscope viewers? I love you guys. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you all for my birthday gifts and presents and flowers and everything. But most of all, thank you for your heart and your support. We can make this happen. Remember, you are the only advocates God has in the planet, the true and living God has, and we are his authenticators.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to take the words out of your mouth?
Yeah, sure. as Dr. Price already said, thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are still sending in her birthday gifts and these beautiful flowers and many others just like them, thank you very much. Go to www.drpaulaaprice.com. Find out what's going on, what's new about our Prophets Training in June, our Apostles Summit in November, as well as everything else in between. There are going to be more products coming your way. And, of course, ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christian. Be on the market next month, which is next week, so coming soon to an apostle's website near you. God bless, and we look forward to tuning in with you next week.
And a shout out to all of you all who tuned in. Good night.